empty room, a voiceless crew at the edge of the moon, the empty room, nothing is in it,
probably heard or tuned in to episode one. We're going to conclude the episode by starting off with the ridiculous. John, first off, welcome to part two, man.
Part two.
Part two. That's how long we talked.
Thank you.
And we're gonna get this going. So part two ends, starts with the ridiculous, and the ridiculous really starts with some sports stuff, which is where I sort of feel sports is now. Sports is sort of an entertainment ridiculousness. Because you had the COVID stuff, everyone's got to wear masks, but then football, baseball, and basketball started back up without fans at all, which made it really weird. As things started opening up, there was even more weirdness that would occur. For example, all the players didn't have to wear masks, but the coaches did. If you were the NFL and you're a coach and you didn't wear your mask or your mask was down or something, you got fined $100,000. I just I don't know. I'm at a loss for words with sports right now. I'm not sure where they all fit in and how they all do.
There's only one sport you should be interested in now, Scott. The only sport that truly allows for actual social distancing. And that sport is fishing.
Fishing? There's golf. I mean, golf's kind of...
Well, if you're going to play golf, then I suggest you get into long range shooting. It's like golf, but for men.
Well, anyway, let's start with the Washington football team. You can't call them the Redskins anymore.
The Red Folk.
But now it's the Washington football team, which in itself is
the Washington oppressed people,
which is just weird. Dan Snyder is the guy who owns the Washington football team.
Now, is that what they're really calling themselves now? The Washington football team.
Yeah, that's it. That's
you know what? I appreciate the owner's total lackadaisical approach to this BS.
Oh, it's just awful. Dan Snyder, to his credit, I thought, held out with the Redskins thing for a while. Like, he really did. He held out.
I have a theory.
There was 2 or 3 years where they were pummeling him to try to get him to take that moniker off.
He knew it was going to happen, So he had to buy time. And what he did was he put all their T-shirt and hat and shoemakers into overdrive, producing Washington Redskins swag, boxing it up and warehousing it. So when they made the stupid change to the Washington football people, in 7 months, now they can start to slowly release all this Redskins swag on eBay. And what used to be a $50 sweatshirt is now $150. And he's going to make his money there.
You might be onto something.
Because that's, well, I mean, that's how I would have done it anyway.
So when the riots happened and the protests and Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all that sort of happened along with COVID, that pushed Snyder over the top and he eliminated the Redskins logo. Maybe going into overdrive into what John was talking about. I don't know. But it seems plausible to me because there is money to be made no matter what the situation is. So I sort of thought Snyder was on the up and up and seemed like a decent person. But I was wrong, apparently, because Dan Snyder has been accused of telling his ex-cheerleading coach to keep the cheerleaders young and with big tits or else he'd fucking kill him.
Well, it does seem like a bit of an overreaction.
That seems a little crazy and aggressive. And look, I understand that men tend to like the breastages.
I will not. Yeah, I'm not going to go in for a professional sports team's cheerleader calendar looking for cankle of the month.
Right.
You know, so yes, you do have to meet those standards.
Right. But no one's going to the games to watch the cheerleaders anyway. I don't think that's really
It's not happening. That they're going to the games to watch the cheerleaders. It's just the cheerleaders are the part of the game that, on occasion, they may get you to that stupid-ass boat show. You know, because you really, you don't necessarily want a boat, but if you can get that smoking hot redhead from June to sign your calendar, you get bragging rights at the office.
I suppose. But the fact that, I mean, already Snyder and his ilk at that company have been charged with some poor choices in terms of how they treat female workers.
Yeah.
And so he's already on the defensive. And then for this to come out.
How did this ex-cheerleading coach lose his or her job?
That I don't know. And this might be the average person checking in on Twitter and on news stories in general. I read the headline, read a paragraph or two, and basically it sort of helps explain or validate the charges against Snyder and his cronies in terms of his terrible business environment for female employees. Now, that's a danger, right? Because it could be just all smoke and mirror. It could be this guy was let go and he's pissed off, so he finds the nearest reporter and says, hey, you want to know a story? Listen to what Snyder told me about the females I was working with.
And for, I'm sorry, but
definitely a possibility, but I don't know. You start to get to that where there's smoke, there's fire, and now there's three different stories about things being sort of poor around there.
But as far as cheerleading goes, okay, number one, God, what a worthless industry.
No, I'm going to challenge you there because cheerleading is...
Dancers gone retarded.
No, stop. We don't use the R word here at the Empty Room Podcast. That's going to be bleeped. No. What I know is this. Cheerleaders are national heroes. National heroes. They are absolute heroes. If you talk about
so many cheerleaders died at 9/11 rushing into the buildings. No.
If you talk about the entire collegiate scene. The entire collegiate scene of sports, okay? Football, baseball, basketball, lacrosse, softball, you name it. All the from sea to shining sea, John. It's a fraction of the injuries that happen in competitive cheerleading. Cheerleaders have the highest level of injury from falls, from being launched to the ceiling and back. These women and men take their lives in their hand every single day they participate. They are national heroes, and I will not let you besmirch their value to the NFL. I mean, we're talking serious injuries that will rival any football team, that will rival any hockey team. These are heroes, national heroes. So
yeah, but at least in hockey, when you get a tooth knocked out, you're a badass. If you're a cheerleader and you get a tooth knocked out, you're out of work.
Stop it! You get launched into the ceiling. You get launched into these, and then somehow Miranda forgets to catch you and you hit the ground. Like,
that's because you pissed off Miranda when you stole her yogurt.
That's a problem. So
that was the only thing she could eat that day. He was really looking forward to that yogurt.
Now listen. At the end of the day, no matter whether you're a cheerleader, a national hero, or if you are working at the selling the hot dogs to the fans.
Now that guy, that's my boy right there.
Right,
okay?
He's a national hero.
You bring me hot dog and beer guy. Yeah. Okay,
they go through some shit. Those guys, dude.
They do. Concessions it's a tough gig. But I got to be honest with you, Scott. As far as professional sports go and cheerleading, for decades now, we have put on entire shows about what the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders have to go through.
Right.
Just to become Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders.
That's right. Listen.
We've seen, there are movies, bad movies.
No.
About these kind of things. I still hate you, Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst was, remember, she was a vampire first, cheerleader second.
True
and
fact.
She brought that vampiric energy to the cheerleading scene, and it changed the game. Absolutely changed the game.
It was a terrible movie.
The only redeeming quality
of that movie was Elijah Dushku.
There will be no talking ill about Kirsten Dunst on this program.
We do not. No. Because Kirsten Dunst tried to be Mary Jane in...
And she succeeded. No, she did not. No, she was great. Terrible. She was outstanding.
But back to it. Everybody knows what goes into becoming a cheerleader. Okay? Yes. Is there a lot of hard work? Absolutely.
National heroes.
But we set massive standards for these types of groups, okay? The professional cheerleader, the collegiate cheerleader, the amateur dance group, the Rockettes.
I mean, I love the Rockettes.
Yeah, but you look at the Rockettes, okay? You may be one of the most talented dancers on planet Earth, but if you're not 5'10", you're not doing it.
There's a mold. There's a mold.
There is a mold for the Rockettes. There is a mold for professional cheerleading. And if this guy came out and said something stupid like, keep them skinny with big tits or I'll kill them, it sounds more like hyperbole to me. Not an actual, I'm sharpening this axe.
No, of course.
And if Jenny doesn't drop 3 pounds.
Of course.
And oil herself up just right.
Yeah, no.
I'm going to take her out on national TV. I don't think that's that.
I don't think that happened either. I think
it's more locker room talk.
It's another one of those situations. Important businessman who had a lot of stuff going on, and some dude was like, hey, you know, this is happening, and he's just like, shut the fuck up, I gotta do this.
What do you mean my cheerleaders are all gay? 10 pounds! No more Sizzler! Why do you keep taking them to the Golden Corral when they do good?
So I get it, but it's just an interesting story, especially with the idea that...
Cigarettes and rice cakes! That's all they're allowed to have!
Oh, yeah, I mean, all I know is that it's an interesting story, and that they should be treated like the heroes they are, because it's
if you take them to Pinkberry, you tell them to put the X-Lax in there.
whoa. Anywho, but yeah, it's definitely a problem, and Dan Snyder should pay egregiously for that. Let's move on. Let's go to Rochester, New York. I love Rochester. I've been there many, many times. There is a working, wonderful ice hockey rink in Rochester, New York, and it's rented out, as all hockey rinks are, to anybody and everybody, but it, you know, ice time's expensive. You got to sort of plan ahead and all that fun stuff. Well, there was a small hockey team that was at this particular rink in Rochester, and they got to see something incredible. The Zamboni machine that cleans the ice and smooths the ice, it popped a line of petrol fluid, and the thing caught fire.
Wow.
The hero.
There's the irony.
The hero.
Was a cheerleader who ran out to save the Zamboni driver?
No, the Zamboni driver in general was the hero because
Was he himself at one point in time
He might have been. He kept going. He didn't stop. There was fire going out the back and it was engulfing him, but he would not let that ice be bumpy.
This is not like Death Race where if you drive fast enough, maybe you can keep the fire in the back compartment of the car.
Footage.
It's a Zamboni.
There's footage. It is fantastic.
Really?
And everyone's like, my God, he's still going.
It just won't stop. Just driving the Zamboni
those
for all
those kids wanted to be on smooth ice, and that man would not let it go.
So, like, did he make, like, multiple laps with a burning Zamboni and then brought it back into the Zamboni holding area?
I don't know if he made multiple laps, but he definitely did not stop. He did not get out. He brought it all the way into the shift. And the thing started burning more, like, at the beginning of his pass to get into the...
Oh, man. Did he get it outside?
I don't know.
You would like to think they got the Zamboni outside.
But it was amazing, and God bless that man. That's another hero of the nation right there. Right.
The cheerleading Zamboni driver of Rochester, New York. They will tell stories of this man.
As they should. As they
in
should.
In the darkest nights of winter.
You thought you had it tough. Do you remember the Zamboni driver?
He used to be a cheerleader.
That dude used to... When he was a cheerleader, he had the most glorious blonde locks that were down to his ass almost. And then he saved humanity by driving that Zamboni.
At 4 miles an hour, on fire.
All his hair was cooked off him. God bless that man. God bless that man.
Well, you got to give him credit. I hope they don't fire him.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. So, let's move on. Sinead O'Connor. Who remembers Sinead?
I remember Sinead O'Connor because she had one of the worst songs and
Nothing
haircuts.
Compares to you.
Written by Prince, by the way.
I liked Prince.
Prince was fantastic.
I liked Prince.
Sinead got a hold of that song, and that was the only good thing that came out of her singing career. Oh. I know Sinead had a mental breakdown.
Right.
all over the YouTubes, which was, it was painful to watch.
Right.
Because the uber feminist that is Sinead O'Connor was wondering why she was living in a one bedroom apartment.
What happened to all the money she made? She made nobody, tons of money.
Yeah, but she was complaining that, you know, no one was there to take care of her and that her life was absolutely horrible. And I just sat there being like, you can go ahead and thank feminism for that. But she had a total breakdown, and then she embraced the most misogynistic religion possible.
Yeah, I mean,
Islam.
I think she,
the religion of peace, was going to save her.
Right, and again, I sort of,
and now I get nothing compares to burqa.
But for her, like, I don't know, like, it was just one of those things where did all the money go? And then what was the plan afterwards? Like, she stopped recording.
She didn't do much.
Right.
But I think she also got, she may have gotten screwed over by managers
and
record executives, which is apparently par for the course in that industry.
Yeah, which can happen. Now she provided another video where she was begging her fans to help her get food. And one of the reasons I put on the ridiculous is, again, here is a woman who was talented, who was famous, who had one of the best...
Beautiful voice.
Yeah, and one of the best songs of that era that, I mean, whether you like it or not...
Written by Prince.
Right, but sometimes people, you know, they make songs their own, and Prince had a lot of songs that were taken from other people and made...
Prince was a prolific writer.
Yeah, really good.
Prolific.
So, for her to be begging for food from her fans just seemed like an unbelievable turn. Ridiculous turn.
You know, I sit here and I bag on Sinead O'Connor, and I think I'm funny and clever, but the truth of the matter is Sinead is obviously showing severe signs of mental distress.
Mental disorder.
I'm not going to sit here and attempt any kind of diagnosis as to what she might be going through, but she does need help. She needs treatment of some kind of medical intervention, you know, before things get too out of control for her.
It does seem that there's sort of a depression or a bipolar.
You know,
or
after her breakdown on all over the YouTubes and her embracing of the religion of peace, she started performing live again.
Mm.
And she was getting gigs.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to be making some kind of money.
Yeah.
So you're right. I'm not 100% sure where her money went, what her situation is, and what has led her to this point. But that's, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough.
Yep. Yeah. And then to go along with the bipolar disorder or the mental disorder theme, you know, afterwards, after this came out that she was helping fans would help her with food, she posted another video where she claimed that, you know, I'm not in that bad of shape, I figured it out, I found a food service, I'm happy. So I mean, it's just up and down, highs and lows.
Just
feels like,
I think Sinead O'Connor is, god, I, you know what, I don't think I'd want to be around for that story.
Nope.
For her to end up where she did.
So for Sinead, we hope she gets the help she needs, and hopefully...
we'll be sending her good thoughts and cheerleaders.
And that would and that would explain, by the way, the religion thing, because if you're sort of in a situation where you're having trouble grasping reality, you're going to try to find value in anything, and a lot of times religion is what brings you the value.
Same thing happens in situations of addiction. People may kick the drugs or the alcohol, but they have a tendency to overcompensate and replace it with something else. And a lot of times, you know, hey, JC steps in and fills that void.
Well, that's what he does best.
That's his job. You know?
But finding meaning, man, I totally feel you there. Finding meaning's hard. So let's talk about, let's talk about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, we're pivoting back to the sports world, Cleveland Browns quarterback. And
sorry, Baker.
We want to support him. We want to congratulate him as he is now, he tied Ben Roethlisberger as the winningest quarterback at Brown Stadium. Now, the problem is Ben Roethlisberger plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that means that there hasn't been a lot of wins by the Browns. Congratulations, Baker, on becoming that guy.
You know what? That is sad. What's the situation with their cheerleaders?
I don't know. I'm sure in some of them terrible, terrible seasons for them Browns, cheerleaders were the best athletes there. But
isn't it a toss up between the worst teams, like the Oilers?
Well, it's just bad luck, you know. I think the Browns are a fascinating team in the bad luck category, because if you look at their history, you're talking about possibly having the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, who leaves them. You have Art Modell selling the Browns and they becoming the Baltimore Ravens as they leave for Baltimore. So they're sort of the unlucky bunch. There's a great documentary on, I believe, the 30 for 30 ESPN guys did, where it's called Bill and Bill. And it's Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells sitting down for a documentary and kind of going over the whole entire story. Parcells started it all, and then Bill Belichick was under Parcells at the New York Giants, and they won Super Bowls. And then Belichick was supposed to become the next coach of the Giants, and Parcells sort of, it didn't work out right, and some things were said. So Bill jetted, went to the Browns.
Parcells ended up at the Patriots, though.
They both ended up there. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's a real neat story. And actually, it wasn't the Browns that he was there for a day. It was the Jets he was there for a day.
Oh, no. I totally understand that. Yeah. I would leave the Jets.
The Browns, also, he was there for a full year and maybe two, and he had started turning them around, and then he ended up leaving because he thought he was going to be the coach of, I forget which team. But it's a weird spidery story, and a spider web story with all sorts of stuff going on. But at the end of the day, the Browns are the guys that took it in the teeth, and
they are that NFL bad luck story. Right, I mean, so. what are the Houston Oilers? Are they still a thing? I don't watch sports.
The Oilers are gone. They are now the Tennessee Titans. It's hard to keep track of everything. I agree. I guess.
Well, the Titans are doing fantastic.
They're playing well right now. You know, it's true.
So that was a good move on their part. Maybe the Browns need to take a play out of that book.
But the Browns have an interesting team, and right now going into this week, they were 4-1, which is one of the best records they've ever had, and Baker was definitely a big part of that, as was Odell Beckham Jr., of course, who we learned from last podcast that there's stories out there that he, when he's with a lady, he likes to get pooed on. So that's a little interesting tidbit.
I'd rather talk about Terry Crews.
As I said last week or last podcast to Eric, to each their own.
To each their own. But you know what? I got to be honest with you, Mr. Odell. Miss Sinead O'Connor will probably do a lot for
him. Get out of here. Get out of here. But like I said before, you know, whatever gets to you, just leave the kids alone and make sure it's all consensual. That's all I care about. And, you know, but at the end of the day, if David Portnoy, the head of Barstool, wants to create a jersey that says Cleveland on the front and your number on the back, it says Steamers, I'm going to laugh. So. All right, moving on from the Browns, and by the way, again, congratulations, Baker Mayfield. Let's talk about our buddy Vice President, possibly President, depends how this election goes out, Mr. Biden, and his new teachings on what should happen in a firearm fight. We should shoot people in the legs.
This is what happens when you get your law enforcement training from Lethal Weapon.
Not a great idea. Now, you are vastly superior to me in the firearms category. But even I know that in a very tense and adrenalized situation, aiming for the legs is probably not the best idea.
No. No. It's never, number one, it's never a good idea to fire a warning shot.
Okay. Well, he also suggested that too.
Yes, yes.
Years and years ago.
And we're going to dive into that one because somebody actually used, well, the vice president told me to, in a legal defense, and he won.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah, shooting people in the leg only works in Hollywood.
Right.
You know, to get shot, and I've done some studying of anatomy, and I understand a little bit about the vascular system.
I'm just talking about hitting it, John. I don't know about the vascular system.
But to sit down and say that you can take a shot to the leg and be safe, that is just showcasing a level of ignorance.
Well, yeah.
You are ignoring reality because you shoot somebody in the leg, okay? Number one, let's just say you get that perfect shot and you get the thigh. Now, you're potentially not only breaking the femur, which is the largest bone in the body, you have now had, you've now taken that bone and the strongest muscles are now acting as rubber bands, which are going to contract on themselves, digging all those wonderful bone fragments into brand new parts of the muscle.
You're coming at it from a will you survive aspect because the idea from Biden is that this is a safer shot.
It is totally, absolutely not a safer shot. And I'm sorry, please shoot me in the chest because if you're aiming for my legs and I'm charging you, chances are you're going to shoot me in the dick. Okay, just put me down.
Well, that's the thing.
Call it a day.
Well, that's the thing. I'm coming at it from, if I'm in this situation and I'm not a marksman, if I'm not somebody who trains all the time, if I'm just some Tom, Dick, and Harry who owns a gun due to my Second Amendment rights, and the only reason I'm going to use it is if somebody is threatening my life and my family and my property, and it's coming right at me, I'm going to miss. I'm not going to hit that shot.
You're not going to take that deliberate leg shot. There's a reason why, you know, every military doctrine is torso shots. Okay, even the Russians have a military doctrine of aim at the belt buckle.
Yeah,
you know, at the very least, you aim at the belt buckle. Just put a bullet in them, get them out of the fight. The United States military, they want that center mass shot.
Well, the other thing too, it's one of those reasons why the Democrats like to talk about how many bullets you should be able to have in a magazine or whatever you're using. And
I could show you so much.
There's so many times I've heard stories. And again, I'm not a tremendous marksman. I'm a Second Amendment guy and I know how to use and all that fun stuff. But I would think if soup came to nuts and I was in an adrenalized situation where my life depended on it, I would want more than two bullets. I would want 10. I would want 15. I would want the odds to be in my favor.
Yeah, no, you're yeah, that's what, and people always ask me, it's like, oh, what do you think about, you know, a Glock 19 for home defense versus a six shot revolver, a 357. Okay, 357's fantastic round. Mm-hmm. That's great. Are you Jerry McCulloch? Probably not. For those of you who don't know, Jerry McCulloch's an epic shooter, and very few people ever rise to his level. But the difference between a wheel gun and a standard semi-automatic pistol is the difference between six opportunities to save your life and 16 opportunities to save your life. That's why I always, you know, for self-defense, you want that 15-1, you know, 15 in the mag, one in the pipe capacity. It's about the amount of opportunities, because once that adrenaline gets pumping and you are in that life or death situation, even some of the best shooters in the world will find it difficult to hit the target. And I don't often equate police as the best shooters in the world. In fact, I think the vast majority of them could benefit from more training with their firearms. But you could spend days upon days going through actual footage of police shootouts where a law enforcement officer and a suspect are shooting at each other from 10 to 15 feet away, emptying magazines as fast as they can pull the trigger, and The only thing that gets hit are cars.
Cars tend to love getting bullets.
Cars love getting bullets. Yep. For Joe Biden to sit there and say, oh, we'll just shoot him in the leg, it's the more humane thing. Somebody go shoot Joe in the leg and then come back and talk to me about humane. I love the fact that there are several police departments that put out a press conference, we'll say, a communique, respectfully requesting that the former vice president stop telling people to shoot motherfuckers in the leg.
It's not helpful.
Police will never do that. I'm sorry. If you have to shoot me, just kill me.
So there's that.
That is, oh, God. Joe, I don't know where you live, but I'm sure there are licorice forests and gumdrop rainbows.
So Rob Schneider, moving on. Rob Schneider, do you know who Rob Schneider
is? I like Rob. I actually like and respect Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider is an interesting cat, man. Comedian, been in a bunch of movies, fan favorite of Adam Sandler. Sandler uses him a lot. Schneider, just today, called for Gavin Newsom to be recalled.
Yep.
The governor, the embattled governor of California. And where are we at when you have Rob Schneider?
Here's the thing. Rob Schneider is not a big, hardcore leftist.
Nope.
Rob Schneider, much like David Spade, are actually moderates to a great degree. You look at people like David Spade who, after the Northridge Hollywood shootout, when law enforcement was woefully underarmed to deal with that, he actually went out and bought something like 100 AR-15s for the LA Police
Department. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
And he donated them.
Hmm.
These are the people that they worked in the industry, but you never hear from them.
Right. I feel like that whole Adam Sandler crew... There's a bunch of normal guys.
I think you're right.
Who just, understand that things should be a certain way, but there's definitely a balance to everything. And
you know what? I don't have Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, David Spade. As annoying as everybody thinks David Spade is, okay? And David Spade's work is not my favorite. But they're not all over the TV trying to tell me what to think and how to live.
Right.
They come out. They do a job.
Right.
They collect their paycheck.
And they like hanging out with each other.
And they
like,
let everybody live their lives.
They do the thing.
So it's one of the things I respect about him. But yeah, Rob Schneider is not the biggest hardcore leftist. I'm sure he's Democrat.
Who knows?
But
if I'm Gavin Newsom, and of course Gavin probably doesn't give a crap about what anybody thinks. That's why he's done the things he's done.
I don't know if you can be a politician in California.
But if Deuce Bigelow is calling for my recall...
Right?
I think shit has hit the fan.
Shit has hit the fan for Mr. Newsom. And let's not forget that Rob Schneider also gave us the wonder and joy that is Elle King.
Oh, yeah.
That is his daughter. That's weird. We haven't heard anything from Rob Schneider. You know what? I know why Rob Schneider's been activated. He heard about the news of Mr. Rick Moranis' attack in New York City.
That was
City.
Bullshit.
Total and utter, you're absolutely right.
I hope you got a chance to hear the podcast about that.
I haven't yet. I'm looking forward to it.
Eric and I were fired up.
But I can tell you right now, Canada's pissed.
Dude, when you knock out gutlessly the Keymaster, you and the horse you rode in on.
Absolutely. I mean, fighting mad
about that.
Here's the thing. Everybody thinks that Canada is so nice, but Canada has two sides. The Canada has normal side, and then Canada has we're going to fucking war side.
Apparently.
And when Canada goes to war, they're savages. They're absolute savages. The Germans were more afraid of some Canadian regiments than they were of Americans.
Well, if they're as cool and as savage as Letterkenny, then I'm all in.
Letterkenny's
my favorite show.
They're a polite people in the day-to-day, but you know what? I think they may go to war against New York on behalf of Mr. Moranis. And, you know...
A national treasure, to two countries.
To two countries, absolutely.
National treasure.
And when you see... When people like Rob Schneider see their heroes getting knocked out in savage, unprovoked attacks in what is quickly becoming a lawless society, men like Mr. Schneider get activated. And now they're speaking out against the lawlessness because, not for nothing, Ron Schneider's not a big guy.
I tell you, this lawlessness and this craziness that's been happening since the COVID stuff, not that it took me or anyone else to recognize it, but it's been one of the top Second Amendment booster shots in the country.
Have you noticed nobody's talked about banning weapons?
Nope.
You know, COVID kicked off. Any talk about any kind of firearms bans got real quiet quick.
It's true. So we have two more stories left, and then we'll go to the questions to ponder. The first story I want to talk about, and I can't decide how I feel about this, but I'm interested in your take, John, and then as I tell you the entire story, we'll understand that it's a tragedy, no matter how funny it makes us feel.
Okay.
So it's
time for funny tragedies.
It is. If Shakespeare were alive today, he would call this a comedic tragedy.
Oh, good.
And he would write the play. I think very enthusiastically, actually.
Probably. Yeah.
So a man charged with assault after farting in an Uber. Now.
Oh.
We've all been there. We've all had an incredible night out in the town. We've probably
culminating in stopping at Del Taco.
We've drank our fill to excess, and now we're in an Uber with friends. Well, not an Uber. We've been in a car. I mean, back when we were able to do such things, Uber didn't exist.
No, we had to take a cab, and those floors were sticky anyway.
Yeah, so.
So one more fart didn't make much of a difference.
But in today's world, where taxis are not really a part of the situation, especially in a lot of these urban towns, although I would suspect that after this, maybe taxis will
make a comeback. That's going to be their tagline. You can fart in our cars.
So anyway, the story goes that this man and his crew, after a night of partying, got into an Uber. The Uber driver was an immigrant from Poland. Young man.
Okay.
Well, actually, no. He was older. He was in his 40s,
50s. Either way, just a guy with a side hustle.
Just a guy doing his thing.
Yeah, doing his thing.
And they're loving America for what it is. An opportunity.
Yes.
And,
opportunity,
but I guess,
for ass.
But I guess the night had gone rough for this Polish immigrant. He had it up to here. Maybe he had had enough. And these guys get in, and this one particular guy sitting in the back seat, you know,
a drunken jackass,
unruly,
an ugly American,
you know,
lifts a cheek and just releases the flattest.
He gets on one cheek and releases the hounds in
the swan song.
And the
honk honk.
I don't know if it was a honk. It was probably an aggressive.
Ow,
yeah. And that was enough to send
So what was the reaction of this poor Polish immigrant?
And not only was it loud, apparently it also smelled ungodly.
Well, you know, once you release the dogs of war.
So our friend, the Uber driver, slammed the brakes, demanded that they leave. Get out of the car.
Which is his right.
And indeed.
If that's what made him feel uncomfortable, this is bad press for Uber, by the way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And demanded he leave. Apparently, the guy would not. So the Polish man got out and got him out of the car, which led to fisticuffs. And which led to the Polish man breaking his hand. So.
Wait, the Polish man broke his own hand, or the Polish man broke the farter's hand?
No, Polish man suffered a broken
hand. Okay, I'm good.
It is unclear whether it was due to striking the farter
in the head and shoulders area.
We don't know, but something happened. He broke his hand. So, of course, the police arrive and arrest the farter, and they charge him with assault.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I understand the charge. The Uber driver asked you to leave. It is his personal vehicle.
Right.
It is his right, if he is not comfortable, to deny you service.
So here's the aftermath. The judge sided with the Polish immigrant. The farter had to do 90 days in jail and a $900 fine.
All over some ass.
Actually, I'm wrong. $900 fine and 18 months in jail.
18 months in jail.
Meanwhile, the Polish immigrant broke his hand, was unable to drive, was fired from Uber, could not maintain his livelihood, and had to go back to Poland. So there's no winners here.
Okay, so this is a Polish man.
This is a sad story.
He comes from Poland. Mm-hmm. This is a place where the diet is heavy upon the potato and the sausage. And this man has never smelled the rancid emanations after an Oktoberfest-style partay.
I can't argue that point. However, he had had it up to here. It was the end of
where
the night.
Where was this guy? Was this New York? It sounds like a New York story.
It was. I don't know if it was New York, actually, now that I look at it. I think it might have been in Philadelphia, for all we know.
Okay, Philly. Yeah, Philly's a pretty fighting town.
Point is, there are no winners here. Absolutely none. Everyone, it's a tragedy in this the biggest sense of the
this
word.
This is a big fat ball of stupid. Now, I appreciate the Uber driver, his position. He wanted a gentleman to leave his car. Okay, that's his right.
All I can think about...
I don't think the other guy should have gone to prison, but at the same time, he also should have just got out of the car.
Right.
And second, if I'm that Uber driver and I'm thinking, you just ripped that kind of ass in my car, I'm expecting a $30 tip. Now, I can Febreze my way out of this.
All I can
2 minutes after you've left.
All I can think about is that if the guy hadn't farted,
none of this would have happened.
And no. Lives would have gone on lit without
issues. If you people hadn't stopped for the double beefy burrito, I'd still be an American living the dream.
I mean, is this proof that Taco Bell should not be visited past a certain hour? Because it could change lives?
Taco Bell is a dangerous thing. It's not the kind of thing you eat on a Saturday before
church. Or is it proof that going to Chipotle at 2 in the afternoon could jeopardize what the evening holds?
Say what you want. Chipotle is always a bad idea.
But a tragedy nonetheless.
That is sad. You know,
everyone lost.
I get the impression this Polish guy may not have been truly happy with the American dream.
Could have been. But it said in the article that he could no longer work because of his injury, which led to no money. He lost his house, lost his job.
Was he supporting a house on an Uber salary?
That's the rumor. So I don't know. All I know is a tragedy. No winners.
No winners. Except the courts.
And then the last story that I want to go over, which isn't a fun one, but I figured I'd save it for last because it comes with the theme of part one and part two of episode 48, which is... We have a situation where we're going to put in a new Supreme Court justice.
Yes, Ms. Barrett.
Yeah, Ms. Barrett, who is going under, has been under this week, pressure from, the Senate hearings to...
That's been pretty light.
It hasn't been bad. But if you've listened to part one and you've caught on in part two, one of the things that's really chapped my ass about this whole... time period is that there seems to be a bias towards one side over the other. The right side, the conservative side, for lack of a better word, right's probably not the correct way to describe it, has been getting a raw deal, in my opinion, and everything seems to be biased towards making the left the winners.
Well, all this stems from, I think, was this 2013, 2014, where the Democrats, I think it was Jack Reed, who may have been the Rhode Island senator, by the way.
Well, Sheldon Whitehouse looked like a dope this time, too.
Well, he often does. But I think Jack Reed put in the option of taking away the 61 or 60 vote majority.
Well, it wasn't Reed. It was it was Harry Reed. That's who you're thinking of.
Harry Reed. Thank you. Yeah. So Harry Reed put in their nuclear option.
Right. Of which... Cocaine Mitch was like, you're going to regret this.
And he was so right. Yep. I mean, like, he didn't even need an eight ball to see that one coming. Right. But yeah, they put in this option of going to just a simple majority, thinking that they were somehow going to be in power forever.
Yeah, it was a huge mistake.
So, number one, the Democrats did this to themselves. Number two, I think the Democrats are still real salty about Obama's Supreme Court nomination.
Interesting. Yeah, you think so?
Yes. Mr. Garland... was actually, for all intents and purposes, not the worst pick for the Supreme Court.
Right.
Was he a little more left-leaning? Yes, but he also had a very good record of kind of being a moderate.
Right.
But what did the Republican Senate do? Well, we're just not going to confirm your guy.
Well,
and it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
Unless they resurrected Scalia.
Right.
They said
it was within their power to do so.
It was in their power to do so because of the Democrats. But this is what pissed me off. And this is the hypocrisy that I think the Republicans should get smacked down on. They tried to say, oh, well, we've got an election coming up in a few months. And we think that the American people should decide, which was BS.
Right, but that's...
They should have just said, we're not confirming it because...
Well, I mean,
we're in opposition to the president.
You got to play the party line in the party game, which is what has been happening to them forever. So you got to give them credit for fighting back against the situation.
I would have appreciated the honesty of it.
Well, that's politics.
It is politics. You're absolutely right.
There is no honesty.
But yeah, and now you've got this. Now you've got all the Democrats saying, "Oh well, we should have the same thing that they did under Obama. We should wait.
But
if there's going to be a new president, we should let." The new president picked this Supreme Court justice.
But the rules are different. The rules were that if you were the president and you had command of the House, you could make a move. And during the Garland thing, it was the opposite.
It was the opposite.
And you can't do it with the opposite. And
there are 29 instances where a president nominated an individual for the Supreme Court throughout the history of our country.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 29 times. And I think it was either three or six of the times where it wasn't the president and the Senate were from the same party.
That's the only way it works.
But in those cases, there was, you know, no Supreme Court justice got appointed. Am I happy that Trump is getting three Supreme Court picks? Yes. Only because it's kind of good for my side. But what's pissing me off is now we've taken away that tripwire of getting the 60-vote majority. It takes away the negotiation.
Right, and that was Harry Reid's fault and falter. So,
and it's going to burn Republicans at some point in time.
Just who knows when.
This is just a bet. I actually want that tripwire that forces people that forces our politicians to negotiate back.
Right, and I get that, and I think that's something that could be brought back to the table. This election has to get passed, and there has to be decisions made on... But there's some healthy things happening, I think. For example, Ted Cruz bringing up the idea that term limits for senators and representatives, and I love that idea. I think term limits is
I think it's a great overdue. Idea, and I think Ted Cruz is playing... He's playing the fiddle. I don't think he believes it.
Oh, I do. Absolutely. I do.
I don't know.
Oh, I do. I think if there's a guy that believes in the Constitution and the way it's supposed to go the correct way, I think Ted Cruz is one of those.
I like Ted Cruz on a lot of things. But yeah. I think also Ted Cruz is, you know, once again, he's another career politician. And he knows that term limits in the Senate and the Congress are a hot button item for conservative voters.
Yeah, I disagree that he's a career politician. I think, you know, he's a lawyer. He's, you know, battled before the Supreme Court. I think he could easily go back to law and not have an issue at all.
I think the only way you're going to get Ted Cruz out of politics is if you nominate him to the Supreme Court.
Well, I thought that was a possible play.
I thought it was too. And I got to be honest with you, I'd have taken Cruz.
Well, Cruz is a good fit, but I like Barrett as well. And yeah, I think Barrett's been
wonderful. Amy Barrett's just fine by me.
And one of the reasons why I'm bringing up this story is that some Democrat senators, I think Hirono from Hawaii, and I forget the other one, asked Barrett about sexually
assaulting people,
sexual assaulting, and then sexual preferences and stuff like that. And one of the answers, Barrett talked about sexual preference and what it means to homosexuality and whatever. I don't know what it was.
And here comes Merriam-Webster to save the day.
But that, again, that's what gets me all chapped out. Like, Webster changed the definition of sexual preference the day after Barrett used it.
Yes, and I have
bullshit.
Here's my answer to you. And to the world, Orwell.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is so utterly
man.
Right think, wrong speak. Big Brother is watching type of
and we've walked into thought that. Policing. And we've walked into that as
face
a
first. Face we've first. Walked
into it. You talk about the computers. You talk about the phones. You talk about all the ways that Big Brother can watch us and figure out and change things
easily. The last time I remember...
Wikipedia yeah. has changed on the dime all the time, and it's always a left-leaning stance.
The last time the dictionary had a legitimate change that we all thought it was hilarious, but... They added words,
mm-hmm.
and those words were McJob
mm-hmm.
and Brewski, mm-hmm. okay? They were colloquial terms that, because they had been used for decades in the English vernacular, they became worthy of being recognized in Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Remember when people would say, ain't a word?
That's true.
Well, ain't is a word.
Yeah,
it's now in the dictionary.
That's right.
So... I think there were checks and balances to that. To this, they're just like, crap. There's a Democratic senator in trouble. Quick, change the definition. Bail them out.
It's just unreal. Absolutely unreal. And it's.
And this is going
this
to.
This is what makes me sad.
These are the kind of things that are going to mess with all kinds of trivia games for decades to come. I'm sorry.
Trivial Pursuit has become.
You can no longer play Trivial Pursuit. Merriam-Webster describes preference as. Well, something else now.
Trivial Pursuit has now lost all of its...
If Trivial Pursuit was smart, they would sue. Like, you owe us money. You've ruined it. We have to replace all these games.
That would be a hell of a story.
That would be fun.
That's all I want. I know it's a pipe dream now. A Hunter Biden pipe dream. But it's a
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's
I want it straight. I just want it down the middle. Let's stop playing the partisan politics. Let's just have... open questions. Let's not change the rules while the game's going on. Let's not do the team sports.
Here's Johnny's pipe dream. All this craziness, all this ridiculousness doesn't lead to a civil war. It leads to a constitutional convention.
Well.
And we go in and we set term limits via constitutional amendments.
So in for term limits.
We set the size of the Supreme Court.
Already done.
And we locked down the Second Amendment in a 2A friendly way. Second Amendment and the First.
And the First. The First is under attack, too.
The First is getting slaughtered.
I mean, we talk about this. We talk about the Second Amendment all the time. That seems to be the rallying cry for the conservatives. You know, you can't touch the Second Amendment. I need the right to bear arms. And then we start talking about the way it was written and what's a militia and, you know, all that happy horse shit. But at the end of the day, that's the one that everyone talks about saying, well, that's the one that's under fire. But right now, really, what's under fire is the First Amendment.
The First Amendment is absolutely under fire, but the Second Amendment is...
massively important. I'm not saying it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, well, the Second Amendment is the amendment that gives teeth to the Constitution.
Right.
And... when you look back, and once again, historical precedents,
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do if you want to introduce any kind of totalitarian regime? And I don't care if it's Marxism, communism, socialism, whatever the filthy ism.
Fascism.
Fascistas.
Take the guns first. That's what happens.
They all go and they all take the guns. That's the only way it can be done. Why? Why do you take the guns? Because we're about to do something you would shoot us for.
That's okay. A good point.
Guess what? We don't want to be shot in the leg or otherwise.
Protect the legs.
Protect your legs, boys. Protect your legs.
Shoot at the legs.
They're using Joe Biden's techniques.
They're only going to shoot at the legs. Protect yourselves. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They aim for the legs, but they keep hitting the dicks. What the fuck?
My God, but he can't have children now.
I would personally love to see. I think it's time. For a constitutional convention.
It could be.
Unfortunately, I think we're going to maybe see that constitutional convention after a serious loss of American lives.
I don't think it's going to go that direction.
I think somebody's going to do something stupid.
Well, stupidity will happen. That's a given, no matter what. But will the reaction of the stupidity be a bloodletting versus...
I think so.
I just don't. I really think that cooler heads will prevail. Especially,
there's too many rage lemmings out there, and they are going once. When you look at the level of ridiculousness with this many days of civil unrest, and these people just won't stop.
Well, I think they won't stop because no one's stopping them. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's the problem. They're going to step into the wrong neighborhood.
You have to get some sort of pushback, and there's been none, or very limited. And I think once the election's over, we're going to find out where we stand on all this. Well, let's.
That can't come soon enough.
No, I agree. I agree. So we've come to the questions to ponder in episode 48, part 2. Before we get to that, let's get to the tweet of the week. The tweet of the week comes from Joe Pilot MD. Joe Pilot MD, he was talking back and forth with somebody who does not believe in the Second Amendment.
Wait. Is this not believing in the Second Amendment like not believing in ghosts?
Well, he doesn't.
Because I can't prove that ghosts are there or not there, but I can prove that guns are there.
Well, the guy that Joe was arguing with was talking about you don't need a gun if you're being infringed upon by baddies. You can use a sword, especially, you know, if there's a closing distance, the sword will be way more effective. And Joe Pilot, his tweet of the week was, please let me know what kind of sword do you recommend for my 78-year-old mother with osteoporosis.
Very nice, very nice.
Because she might need something that goes bang as opposed to a sword.
I don't know. I think your grandmother would do well with a Elizabethan rapier. You know, lightweight, flexible, easily to maneuver.
I was thinking a Hori Hanzo sword.
Yeah, it's Hori Hanzo.
From Kill Bill.
There was that one guy, I don't remember what city he was in, but it was early days of the Summer of Rage here. And he came out and he went to go defend his property or his store, and he had this broadsword or something, and he's swinging around. He got smoked out by the mob so fast.
I hope he lived.
I'm sure he did, but they stole his sword.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you need a trophy for that.
Yeah. What sword do you recommend for my 70-year-old mother with osteoporosis? Something in a 38.
That shoots little tiny swords at the person coming at you. So my question to ponder, I only have one, and God bless, because we've been talking for nearly 2 hours if you count the episode one and episode two. My question to ponder is, and it goes background with the whole theme of the episode, episode 48. Cheerleaders are heroes. Is there redemption for the media in terms of the bias? Is there a possibility that we could ever recover and get back to a stable media? Not a great media, because it's never been great. There's always been yellow journalism. There's always been muckraking. There's always been bad things. But can we get to a point where big tech, who's now hand in hand with the media itself, with the newspapers, with all of it, do we ever get to a point where we're not biased towards one side again?
Possibly. But once again, this goes into those ridiculous conversations that seem to be taking place all over the world. Is America going to enter a second civil war? Because what's going to happen? I mean, you know, you have to think about it. What is the media right now? The media right now appears that they are operating as the propaganda arm of the left. Mm. Yes, of course, you have Fox News, which is obviously a right biased.
Well, Fox seems to be more slanted left than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And really now the competitive balance is OWN, you know, OAN, One American News, and then Breitbart. Those are really the two, I think, that are more center-right.
In order to make the media, I'm just going to say, keep the media honest, they have to be at risk again.
Mm-hmm.
They have to understand that. Once, you know, it's like any of us, our words, our actions, they have consequences.
That's right.
And if the media does assist and leading this country to some kind of second civil war, some kind of civil unrest. If the media itself becomes a target and realizes the power that they wield can affect them negatively, those who survive or the generation that comes after them may look at it, learn some lessons, and say, let's just talk facts, truth, and what we can prove.
I also think facts, truth, and what we can prove is profitable.
It is very profitable, like that's but right
needs,
now...
That's the turn, in my opinion.
But right now, these major media corporations are... All they can think about are clicks. How do I get a click?
Well, no,
I'll rage. If I put out some rage, I'll get a click. They're well,
you've got a point there, but their revenue stream comes from big donors worldwide. I mean, it comes from... the Soros guys or the whoever, you know,
the MyPillow guy.
Yeah, whoever. Like, it comes from singular things. If they actually took a step back, because one of the, you know, I used to work in the paper business.
Yep.
And newspapers are dying. Like, they're dead. They're already gone. But those that hung around the longest gave the most truth. Those that bought into the left-wing propaganda and became rags, those are the guys that died the fastest because no one wants to buy it. No one cares.
Yeah, but I think, and I agree with you. I agree with you. But I think the news industry itself is going to have to suffer a personal tragedy, learn from the mistakes, and rebuild the foundation of their industry on stronger material.
Mm.
You know, you've got all these people who have entered journalism since the 1970s thinking they were going to be Woodward and Bernstein.
Right. Woodward and Bernstein are caricatures of themselves now.
Yeah. They are high on their own supply. Okay. It's that South Park episode where everybody's sniffing their own farts.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know, it's, right. And you know, what do you think? Oh, no. you've got a Don Lemon. Who is
doesn't belong there?
Who says flat out, the most dangerous people in the country are armed white people? Who was that guy who was on MSNBC?
Keith Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann, who literally started his own podcast because he lost his job.
Hey, well, hey, man. I mean, don't throw stones at that world right now.
No, Keith Olbermann. I don't know why Keith Olbermann lost his job, but he came out and he said that. Amy Barrett should be prosecuted and kicked out of society. And yeah, all Trump supporters and right-wingers needed to be kicked out of society. Define kicked out of society. These people are no longer reporting news. You know what I haven't heard from a news person in decades? More on this story as it develops.
Right. I mean, the race to be first is more important
than the race to be right.
Right. And that's an incredible issue that they're dealing with. My hope is that the idea, and again, swinging back around, that profitable is important to them all of a sudden.
They need to, you know what? They're going to have to suffer something like the rest of us to learn a lesson, to evolve, to rebuild. I don't want to see it. I advocate always for peaceful solutions.
It'll be, yeah.
I just... Maybe it's going to, maybe it might take somebody smarter than me to see a way forward for the press.
I've always thought that the money is the key. Like if it's profitable, that's what they'll do. And if you make truth and facts and all that stuff profitable, that's probably the best way to turn the tide. A lot of these people have sold their soul
I think they're stuck on it.
There's no way to get off it until death do us part.
Yeah, and this is the result of identity politics.
Right, right.
We are no longer dealing with issues. We are dealing with crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Some of them are quite irrational.
The problem with the idealists is that most of these idealist situations are not new ideas. They're old ideas that have never worked. And they're too stupid to understand that it's never worked.
You're not and how would you implement this to make it work?
And you know what? Stupid's the wrong word. It's ignorant. They just don't know. They just don't know. And they, again, we're circling back again to that information war. You know, it's they're not getting the information.
Why do these people think that all of a sudden all these socialisms and communisms are a great idea? Maybe it's because they stopped teaching all the failures.
Oh, I mean, if you know that, the history, you would never want to try these things.
It's what, 200 million, yeah. 180 to 200 million dead in the 20th century just under communism?
Yeah, it's just, it's mind-numbing if you actually think about it. If you really sit, and if you're a human being that feels for other people, like you actually have empathy.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the numbers I just put out there were actually low.
Yeah, like if you actually think about what the what people who have lived under communism and socialism have gone through, if they've survived it, you wouldn't want to do it. So, anywho,
that's yeah, I feel for the news media, but once again, they've done it to themselves. I think we're going to need a big change in this country, period.
What do you think podcasting is really the new news media? I mean, I get a lot of news from Tim Pool. I get a lot of news from Steven Crowder. I get a lot of news from Jim Quinn. Like, those are my news sources, and those are podcasts.
Analyzing things more truthfully, not trying to be ridiculously hyperbolic. Mm-hmm. These are the new punk rock.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, but when you look at the mainstream media, it is totally and utterly sellout corporatism. When you look at people like Crowder, who's like, you want to demonetize me? That's fine. I'm going to sell coffee cups.
Right.
Kiss the darkest part of my lily white Irish ass.
Right.
You know, you look at Tim Pool, who has turned down very lucrative jobs. Now, don't get me wrong. Tim Pool, I'm pretty sure Tim Pool is monetarily secure.
So is Crowder. So
yeah, they've worked very hard, but they tell everybody, you know, go pound sand. Now look at Joe Rogan, one of the absolute bar none most successful podcast in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Signed a monster contract. How much for with Spotify?
I don't know, but it was gazillion dollars.
It was whatever. You know, 5 metric butt tons of money. And what happened in the first month? Oh, we need to censor Joe Rogan.
Right.
And Joe Rogan has put himself in these golden handcuffs.
But I also think, talk about as the story develops. I'm interested to see how he handles that.
I'm also interested to see what happens to Spotify.
Yeah, I think Rogan's going to be like, listen, you've given me, you know, we've set this deal, but I don't agree. I would suspect he would not agree with that. And the other thing, too, is that he has continued to have guests of all colors, for lack of a better word, since that story came out. So I suspect he's telling them, no, fucking fix it.
But I think this is going, that may be one of the things that is going to be a straw that breaks the back, is when Spotify has to look at their social justice warrior employees and say, I'm sorry, Joe Rogan makes money.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about. That's where the profit comes in. Profit for truth matters.
But Joe Rogan's not news.
No, but Rogan is news for the newest crew. Like this is where people learn about that stuff.
Joe Rogan is information.
Yeah, and like Megyn Kelly's back on the scene, and I wasn't a Megyn Kelly fan.
Yeah, where did she end up?
She created her own podcast. That's what she's doing. Yeah. I think you're right. You nailed it on the head with the idea that this is punk rock. This is where the information's coming from now, and information is the news now. The news, they're not separate anymore. They're all the same. So, you know, Megyn Kelly, Jim Quinn, Joe Rogan. I mean, you get your flavor of whatever you want, and I think that's how the news has that corrects the news, because for them to make money, they have to compete, because only the nut jobs and the supporters of the nut jobs.
But where are they getting the money's going to come from? Yeah, where are they getting all these rage clicks, though? How is it? You've got CNBC, MSNBC, and CNN. Their ratings are tanking, but they're still following the same formula.
Because they're propped up by people with lots of money that have stake in the left winning. Like
they're the propaganda arm and of the left.
Right. So for them to correct themselves. Again, it could be a terrific moment, or it could be that at some point they want freedom from the people they're getting money from, and the only way to make money is through truth and through...
And that's when they turn around and they make an honest deal with the Tim Pools of the world, the Steven Crowders of the world.
And the funny thing is that if you take ideology out of it And if you just go with truth, you'll actually make more money than what you're doing now.
Probably.
You know, it'll be more lucrative.
If you took all the hyperbolic, all the partisanship, and you literally just reported the facts, people would tune into you just because they could spend a half an hour with you, get all the facts of what is happening at, say, the local, national, and world levels,
yep,
and then move on with their day.
Right.
Instead of have to sit through these repetitive BS news cycles and all the rage.
Right. You break the echo chamber.
Yes.
And you actually get just the information. And then once you have just the facts, you can go to the opinion stuff too. And you can go to different podcasts and get different views and different ideas on it. But right now, since you can't get all the facts, the only way you can get that is the opinion pieces. Yeah. That's where you get the facts from. And then, so it would all work if you just kick the ideology. And then once you are, it's kind of like taxes, you know, when the government creates higher taxes for everybody, they actually make less money than if taxes are lower, because more people would be buying more stuff and more money would go into the situation.
And I would like to turn on the TV and hear about what is going on with the wildfires, not the fact that President Trump and global warming have created the wildfires.
And then we get back to the original problem from the very get-go, in my opinion, which is end 24-hour news. You don't need to have it on 24 hours, because that's the problem. They need filler. They need,
filler,
because they have 24 hours they got to do, and it never ends. So maybe what you
That's why most news has become opinion. Yeah. It's op-ed.
Maybe what you do is you say, all right, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, One American News, all those people, we're going to go back to the idea, and probably the first to do it will get made fun of and given shit the entire time. But the first one to do this, say, all right, our news section of this broadcast is from 4 to 7. You got 3 hours where you're going to get every bit of information. Past that, in the mornings, we're going to do documentaries. And in the afternoons, we're going to do, I don't know. Fuck, it could be anything.
There's a couple of local news stations.
Yeah.
They run their morning news, and then they just run it on repeat.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do it on this one off channel, okay? Mm-hmm. So, say the news is on channel 12, but then on channel 3, they just run that section of news. So, you can come in at any point in the day.
Right.
Get your bit of news and move on.
Right.
You know, I think it's a little more honest. They're like, here's the news.
Yep, here's what we got.
Tune in whenever you want to. You've got 6 hours. We'll repeat this crap. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll give you the next batch of crap. Mm-hmm. And then repeat that until the morning. Hey, have a nice day.
And then eliminate the agenda.
Eliminate the agenda.
Eliminate the agenda. Eliminate the bias. And then see how it all falls through. And if you're good, you're going to make a killing.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm sure Papa John's and Domino's would love to advertise in a network that they're not going to get canceled for later for something stupid.
Yeah, I'm sure the owner of Papa John's is probably hating his fucking... I mean, why don't I even get in bed? All right, so that's the Empty Room Podcast, episode 48, part 2. It's been 2 hours.
Part 2.
John's been great. Thanks for coming on by and doing our show.
Thank you for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
If you want to check us out, emptyroompodcast.com. If you want to contribute to the content, emptyroompodcast@gmail.com.
We'll talk about all your silly shit.
We will. I'm always dying to get help with the content, because I do write the show, as Eric called everybody last podcast. And then you can find us on iTunes Podcast. You can find us on Stitcher. We'll try to get YouTube going again until they cancel us after they listen to the show. And then we'll get back to just...
they may not cancel you. Stitcher. You just may get demonetized.
We're not making any money anyway.
We're not going to make any money. Yeah, no.
This is just a project. All right, everybody. Have a good week. We'll talk later.